Judiciary Committee for Wednesday, May 23, 2007. Several things that are were placed on the agenda will not be worked today, so let me give a report on those items. Senate Bill 279, Senate Bill 247, and Senate Bill 629 will not go into work session today. 279, 347, and 629 will not be brought to work session today. We will roll those over instead until tomorrow. There are still some amendment work on some and further discussions on others that needs to go off, go on here offline. We will be going to work session on the other two bills, and so I will open a work session on SJR 18. Let's have Council Taylor remind us about
this. Sure, members of the committee, SJR 18 comes to you from Senator Kwasniewski, and it amends Article 10, Section 15 of the Oregon Constitution, the Oregon Property Protection Act of 2000, by clarifying that certain, setting forth different procedures than currently exist now, allows forfeitures without conviction if the claimant of property proves the property constitutes proceeds or instrumentality of a crime, allows state and local enforcement to obtain shared proceeds from the United States Department of Justice resulting from state or local law enforcement participation in federal forfeiture, allows forfeiture without criminal conviction when the property is abused and neglected animals. Chair, members of the committee, you may remember from yesterday we have the dash A4 amendments that was suggested by someone. What's it?
In addition to the consideration that was discussed yesterday, which is about page 3, lines 13 and 14 on forfeiture of animals, we have also had a request made from the Speaker's office that the bill be moved to the Rules Committee from here rather than to the floor, although they didn't put a subsequent referral initially, but because it's a ballot referral, and that's our committee on elections, they wanted to have it go through that committee, so this won't be its last stop before the floor. But we have then the consideration of whether the amendment that's been proposed, the A4 amendment, which would delete the lines 13 and 14, is necessary or desirable. And so I just open it up for discussion at that point. Representative Bonamici and then Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support SJR 18 without the dash 4 amendments. The dash 4 amendments would remove the exception for the forfeiture of abused, neglected, or abandoned animals. But as was explained yesterday, there's already a statutory procedure for dealing with abused, neglected, or abandoned animals, and it doesn't make sense to take that exception out of this bill.
Senator Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In our conversations, you know, and I can't say I disagree with, but I still have the concern of the Farm Bureau and the cattlemen, because I know they were talking to their attorney about what that words, these words meant in the context they're in this bill and how they thought it would affect possibly their property, you know, their animal, their livestock. And I'm surprised that they're not here to, in 2 days, to give us some indication of what they were told. So, you know, absence puts you in jeopardy around here.
It's a stage in the session.
Especially with our chair, better look out.
Mr. Chair, following up on Representative Krieger's comments, I had an appointment and they didn't show up, so because I was trying to get their input too. I wonder if the chairs would accept us passing it out with no recommendation.
Actually, I think that the main bill is essential.
It is.
Because without it, we don't have an opportunity to implement the compromise resolution of the civil forfeiture issues. And so I think the main bill needs a recommendation. But certainly we would be within our, since it has another stop, which is in the Rules Committee.
Still then, Mr. Chair, I will make a motion that we accept the dash force.
Okay, we have a Representative Wisnett has moved the dash A4s in Senate Joint Resolution 18.
They do come from a veterinarian.
Mr. Chair, I just want to make another comment about that, because the concern of of the Farm Bureau about livestock and that kind of thing. This exception doesn't apply to forfeiture of livestock unless it's abused, neglected, or abandoned. So as there was a racehorse example yesterday. If the racehorse is an asset and that's subject to forfeiture, there still has to be a conviction. So it only applies to abused, neglected, or abandoned animals. So it just makes sense that if the animal's abused, you don't want to wait till a conviction because somebody needs to take that animal and take care of it.
Probably did.
But Mr. Chair, now the testimony on the other bill we heard, the Farm Bureau did say that, you know, if someone saw animals out in the flooded area that floods in some of our pasture land and someone calls and reports that as abuse, is that abuse? I mean, we need to, I think the bill needs some clarification in that.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cameron.
Representative Krieger and I had this discussion. In that situation that Representative Wisnett's talking about, that could happen today.
That's right.
Right.
This bill won't change it. If somebody drives by Tillamook, because that was my big question, there's cows sitting in a flooded field because of a natural disaster. Well, this bill gives somebody the power and the authority to just say, hey, you know, there's abuse going on here. The way I read it and the way I was reading this and the way I'm understanding it is this, the way this bill is written without the A4s, I mean, today that could happen. It doesn't change anything.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Bonamici.
This resolution deals with forfeiture.
Right.
I mean, the
not abuse.
Right.
I don't understand the bill. That's why I wanted the meeting. That's why I've offered two suggestions. I offered we do it with no pass recommendation, or we do a do with the amendment four. Well, I've made the motion, and I just because I think obviously Senator Wisnett spent a lot of time and effort on this, and I'm sure he would have talked to the Farm Bureau.
Representative Cameron, do you have a
well? My suggestion is that we pass it to rules. With strongly suggest to the senator that he come before rules and explain the need for that amendment. We haven't had anybody here to. I got the letter, but I think there needs to be some sort of discussion as to the real need for that amendment because I think there might be some confusion.
I agree, Mr. Chair, completely. And you know, I talked to people from Farm Bureau that afternoon at the first hearing. And they had contacted their attorney, and they've had a day and a half. They know that the chair and the rest of us who have concerns are waiting for some input. And if they don't come to us when they've had a day and a half, they know we're at the end of session. And, I don't think anyone here wants to hurt farmers and ranchers. That's not the idea. But when you get a pretty good explanation of what this says as Representative Cameron says, I'm willing to pass the bill down there and then have that conversation down there if they think they need an amendment or if they don't, because I think there's been possibly a misunderstanding of what this does. And if you read it, and I had to read it, I have to admit, several times before I understood what it meant. But I'm comfortable with it the way it is, unless they're not here to tell me different.
Would you be willing to withdraw your motion so we could move it with the understanding that then there's another place where that presentation could be made?
Again, my concern is the work that Senator Wisnett. So can we pass it with no recommendation, and they can still look at the amendment. If we pass it without the amendment, does the amendment die?
No, the amendment is still available.
They can bring
be offered up in that committee.
So, it's
a policy
true?
Committee.
Yeah.
Okay. But I would say I want to make a due pass recommendation on this resolution because this is an important resolution. I think if we pass it out without recommendation on the resolution, we haven't done our job about advising.
I will withdraw my motion.
Thank you very much, Representative. Okay. Open to a resolution on a motion on the resolution itself.
Mr. Chair, I move SDR 18 to rules that will be passed.
Representative Barker moves SGR 18 with a due pass recommendation to the Committee on Ethics, Elections, and Rules. Any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Excused.
Representative Knopf.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Excuse.
Vice Chair Barker.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Chair McPherson.
Aye. SJR 18 moves to the Committee on Ethics, Elections, and Rules with a due pass recommendation. So I'll close the work session on SJR 18.
Thank you.
And open a work session on Senate Bill 288.
Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 288A comes to you at the request of the Senate Intern Judiciary Committee, and if I remember correctly, we filed this for the Board of Parole Prison Supervision. Removes the requirement of parole hearing for someone sentenced to life imprisonment pursuant to ORS 163-105 to 163-115 must be conducted as a contested case hearing. Applies to hearings conducted on or after the effective date of the act unless A, the petitioner has petitioned the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision prior to the effective date of this act, B, the prisoner was eligible for hearing at the time the petition was filed, and C, the prisoner has not been granted a hearing on the petition that was filed prior to the effective date of this act, effective upon passage. As chair, members of the committee, you have two sets of amendments in front of you. We had a hearing on this bill on the 16th and with a lengthy discussion. You have Mr. Powers and Mr. Gartland here for the respective sides on this issue, but the Dash 4 amendments are basically they keep the provisions within the APA Administrative Procedures Act, but put certain safeguards in it as it relates to victims, and that was a discussion we had around the last time. Going over in page 2, any subpoena issued on behalf of the prisoner must be issued by the State Board of Parole, Post-Prison Supervision, pursuant to rules adopted by the board. The prisoner may not depose or cross-examine a victim. As used in the section, victim means, this is over in page 3, a person the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision determines has suffered direct financial, psychological, or physical harm as a result of the crime for which the prisoner was sentenced under this section. That is basically the meat of the bill, of that amendment. The other amendment is the Dash 5 amendment, and Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what this does with the other one was APA granting some rights for victims. This one is based on taking this procedure out of the Administrative Procedures Act and adding some certain things back in for the prisoner. What the prisoner would have at a hearing shall have the right to subpoena upon showing of general relevance and reasonable scope of evidence sought, provided that any subpoena issued on behalf of the prisoner must be issued by the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision pursuant to rules adopted by the board. The board's final order shall be accompanied by findings of fact and conclusions of law. The findings of fact shall consist of concise statements of the underlying facts supporting the findings as to each contested issue of fact as to each ultimate fact required by to support the board's order. That's on page 2 and page 3 of the Dash 5 amendments, Chairman of the Committee.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krieger, Mr. Taylor, that second page, line 28, you just read that. How cumbersome and how much work is involved in meeting those specific concise statements of underlying facts supporting the findings of each contested issue of fact?
Chair, members of the committee, that language came from Steve Powers of the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. I met with he and Becky Duncan, and they agreed to disagree, but both of these, one reflects the board's position, the other one reflects Becky Duncan on behalf of the...
Why don't we hear from Mr. Powers and from Mr. Gartland support of each of their amendments. Mr. Powers... Mr. Gartland, why don't you each come up and you can describe. Mr. Powers, why don't you just start out by describing the amendments that the board would favor, and Mr. Gartland can do the same on the other side.
Thank you, Chair McPherson. For the record, Stephen Powers, Chairperson of the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. The board supports the Dash A5 amendments, which we sort of denominated the Parole Board Procedure Plus. In the Dash 5, it incorporates the two articulated concerns that Ms. Duncan had at the previous hearings in terms of cross-examination, or in terms of subpoena, and the findings of fact and conclusions of law as under which we incorporated from the Administrative Procedures Act. It still does, because the bill is about an efficiency for the board's process, while protecting the offender's ability to prove their case, we believe the Dash 5s adequately address that and address the efficiency process.
So, I need maybe a little more detail than I was able to absorb from what counsel had described, and if people, I think it was there. I just didn't quite draw it in about the on the A5s. So the effect is to remove these murder parole proceedings from the Administrative Procedures Act, which
correct.
Means the full range of procedural protections that include right to subpoena documents and then to offer up arguments and then to receive a decision that's supported by findings of fact. You know, those are kind of a rough thumbnail of the kind of protections that are involved. Those would no longer be statutorily required for these kinds of parole proceedings, except as the board then is required by these by the provisions of this amendment to do certain things.
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, that is correct. But the other part of that is that the board's other procedures have statutory requirements for, say, notice and to make sure that all the documents that the board is considering for its decision, those are presented to the offender within 14 days of the hearing. That requirement, which is also in the APA, is specifically required in Chapter 144 of the board's procedures. That's why the board believes that these Dash 5 amendments, by detaching us from the, or detaching this hearing from the APA consistent with the other board's hearings, adequately protects the offender's due process rights, because there are other requirements in statute or by rule that have covered those. The APA isn't the right vehicle, the board believes, to effectuate those. But for those two concerns that the Public Defender's Office has articulated, putting it in Chapter 163, being more specific about it instead of a general look to the APA, the board believes is a better efficiency for the process.
Council Taylor.
All right, Mr. Powers, if I could, I received an email last night from Becky Duncan, who I understand is out of town on family business, saying that her concern about your amendments was that there was no right to cross-examine. Is that correct?
That is correct. None of the board's hearings does an offender have the right to cross-examine. They do have the right after someone has made a statement, say a victim has come, they have the right to make a statement in response to the board. They don't have a right to change the focus of the hearing between them and the witness. They're not acting as counsel. They have a right to make a statement to the board and basically have the last word at the hearing.
But they can't question the witness, for example, as to whatever they testified to.
Correct.
Thanks.
Any further questions, Mr. Powers?
I have a question.
Okay.
And it's either for Mr. Powers or Mr. Taylor. I didn't get a chance to go back and read the Larson case, and I wonder if either of you could talk about the policy reasons why the court thought that these hearings should be within. Was it the Larson case that said they should be within the APA?
Mr. Chairman, of the committee, Representative Bonamici, it's been a month or so, but I read it, but I remember what I remember is basically you had two statutes in conflict, okay? And what the court said, they looked to the rules of construction, and they said two things. The one that allowed the APA hearing passed after the one, that the other one that was in conflict, the one that indicated that it should all be under the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision process, as opposed to the APA hearing. Last in time was first in right. They also said that it was more specific, and the other one was general. Specific overrules the general. So that's what happens when you have a conflict in statutes. That's the process they go through to determine which one controls.
Okay. There are no further questions for Mr. Powers. Let's hear from Mr. Gartland about the A4s.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Peter Gartland. I'm with the Office of Public Defense Services, and I'm standing in for Ms. Duncan, who is out of town. We strongly urge the passage, or we support A4 over A5. What A5 does, what the board's proposal does, is it removes contested case procedures from these murder review hearings. And what that means is it's flipping it out of the APA requirements for contested hearings. And I might begin by saying that contested hearings are kind of the norm for agencies. For example, DMV, agency for medical bar, medical examiners board, the dental examiners board have contested hearings. So essentially, the board of parole would like to have a hearing, a proceeding wherein the board can conduct these hearings easier than DMV can revoke a driver's license. So our concerns are that drastic amendments like these will run afoul or implicate some due process concerns, just basic fairness and a basic kind of competence or confidence in the integrity of the hearing. And what was proposed in A4 we think is a much more sensible route, because what that does, A4 says, well, the contested hearings procedures will continue to apply to these hearings, and it will address the board's major concerns. And the board's major concerns is that the board did not want an inmate or potential parolee to cross-examine, to first subpoena and then cross-examine family members of the victim. And if that's the major concern, then what A4 does says, well, fine, all the contested hearing procedures will apply, except that an inmate cannot subpoena the victim and cannot cross-examine, the victim's family, and cannot cross-examine the victim's family. And that seems like a much more sensible route to take, because that addresses the board's concerns and still leaves in place the procedures that we think comply with just fair due process. And so the concern is, if passing A5 will draw a lot of litigation with respect to whether or not A5 accords with due process and whether these procedures can be changed so late in the game so as to run afoul of potentially ex post facto concerns.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you. I'd like a reminder, please, if we didn't hear in our other hearing, how many of these hearings are we talking about per year? This particular type of hearing.
Chair McPherson, Representative Bonamici, members of the committee. Right now we have 28 hearings that we hope to get done within the year. The pool, as I understand it, of hearings that we will be having is in the 400 or so range, but a lot of that depends on after they've served their mandatory minimum and things. And so we're looking at approximately 30 for the next year, and I don't know if that'll level off or not.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Gartland?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisdom.
If counsel can remind me, the issue here is that the guy's got to convince the parole board that I've changed my life. It has nothing to do with his case, so he cannot bring up anything about the case. Is that not? I thought that was the issue here.
Mr. Chairman, as a committee, that I believe that's the case, but Mr. Powers could probably address it a lot better than I could. But you're right. I mean, they're not going back and retrying the underlying criminal matter.
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, Representative Wisnett, the issue is, by statute, whether the offender is presently capable of rehabilitation. Part of whether they are capable of rehabilitation deals with their acceptance of being convicted of the crime.
Definitely.
And the fear that, I've sat in hearings, is that at times they say, well, this is what has been said about the crime. No, that's not true. This isn't how it went down. And we stand and say, this is, you've been convicted of it. We're looking at whether you're rehabilitated. And so you're right. The focus is on rehabilitation, but it does involve taking acceptance or dealing with what was presented to a jury or to a court to establish the conviction.
Okay. Ms. Powers, I'm still a little fuzzy about just what you gain from taking these proceedings out of the APA, other than making it so that all of your proceedings are under one set of rules, the uniformity. But other than that, I'm really grasping what the need is here. And when we've got the A4 amendments, which give you control over subpoenas, so that we can't have prisoners going on fishing expeditions subpoenaing documents from sources just because they have time on their hands and they're trying to, burdening parties to the involved in their prior case through subpoena power, and we protect victims. Why wouldn't the A4 be a good way to go?
Because, Chair McPherson, members of the committee, I can't underscore enough the efficiency in harmonizing the board's procedures. When the APA is amended, for instance, you've had bills about the hearings officers. You've had Chapter 183 bills that have come up. Those procedures for licensing a massage therapist or licensing a doctor are different given the nature of what the board's hearings have had, and the legislature has recognized that with the exemption in 183 that says for offenders who are incarcerated, it doesn't apply to Department of Corrections procedures when they do administrative hearings or to the Board of Parole procedures. This is the only one that's the outlier there. So we gain in efficiency, for instance, the notice procedures. There are a specific notice procedure that the board operates under in Chapter 144. For this murder review hearing, while the content is essentially the same, when we conducted our first contested case hearing under this procedure, we had to change that. We had to involve legal counsel, and there was an expense in an inefficient system in terms of the due process components were the same, but this was a different procedure. At most contested case hearings, Department of Justice, or maybe all, represents the agency. Our agency is unique in the sense that our 20% of our budget is devoted to legal costs. We don't want to see an expansion of that, and we believe that the Dash 5s adequately addresses what the public defenders have articulated previously in terms of having the subpoena power and ensuring that there are proper procedures to cabin that so that there aren't fishing expeditions, as well as the extended findings of fact. And so it is the efficiency that is gained, and that is a lot both in terms of practical day-to-day for the 30 hearings that we're going to conduct in the next year, but also in terms of how the APA evolves over time. Having it more specific to the murder review, the murder statute itself, or to the board's procedures makes sense to the board going forward.
Okay. Any further questions for either of these gentlemen? Okay.
So maybe just to clarify here, why does the APA only apply to this class of parole hearings? That's I think the flip question of this is why do we have this inefficiency in this one area and not in other crimes?
Council, can you share?
Sure, members of the committee, because that's what the legislature did. That's what the legislature said. As how the courts have interpreted it. I may have been in the room when they did it, but I have to admit I don't remember discussions on it. So,
Chair McPherson, members of committee, and it was done, I think, in 1977, and so, there wasn't, as DOJ looked to the legislative history, and as the court explained, there wasn't any other reason other than just pointing to a general procedure, and the board believes this more specific procedure is the better course in the Dash 5.
If I remember correctly, the more specific one putting this particular provision in the APA was passed in 1999, was it not? I mean, it was considerably after the other procedure.
Chair McPherson, Council Taylor, no, the direction of notwithstanding, it's on the proceeding shall be conducted in the manner prescribed in ORS Chapter 183. That was in the 1977 statute. That was placed in Chapter 163 in the 1977 statute. And so that direction happened a lot earlier. It was only the exemption that came later.
Okay. Ms. Powers, have you attempted to quantify any budget impact on what the parole board would need in terms of staffing levels if this change were made?
The adoption of the A5?
Well, say even ignore the amendments here. Just the passage of the bill, which would then remove this class of hearing or proceeding from the APA. Is that quantifiable as any kind of a savings to your agency?
Chair McPherson, members of the committee, at this point, it is an unknown. When Larson was decided, the board promulgated rules to comply with it, and we were going to see how far and how much having counsel at the hearing was going to cost, and so there wasn't any fiscal in turn, so we haven't quantified it. If 288 doesn't pass, we will be obviously watching it and seeing where it'll go. We do know that for the one contested case hearing that we had, it was more expensive than our previous murder review hearings, but we couldn't base any specific numbers on that, so we're not sure. If this passes, we do believe there will be a quantifiable effect to it.
Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to make a few comments about this. I was reflecting on Ms. Duncan's testimony about how there's really a significant public interest in these hearings, not necessarily for the defendant, but for the families of the victims and the community at large. And I think that with the staff that they already have, they have already implemented, passed the rules to comply with the APA, and with the staff that they have, and there's lots of agencies in the state that comply with the APA. I don't see that as particularly burdensome. And I think in these 28 or so cases per year, and with the significant public interest, and with the exceptions for not calling the victim as defined, I would support the Dash 4 amendments over the Dash 5. I really believe that this is a significant type of case, and it's limited, and they're already set up to do it. I'm sorry I didn't get to read that case, but I think that there's some policy reasons for having the APA apply. The APA applies to lots of agencies. I just don't see it as I think the benefit outweighs the risk.
Maybe for counsel. Was there any discussions regarding these types of things when the bill was in the Senate?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we had pretty much the same discussions we're having right now.
But there were no amendments offered there?
There were no, I don't remember. Well, actually there was. The bill was amended in the Senate side, and the amendment relates to the applicability date.
Yeah.
It applies to hearings conducted on or after the effective date. If I remember correctly, that's what was amended in the Senate. But we've had that discussion. We've had the exact same discussions that you're having now.
So, Mr. Chair, the Dash 5 is the public defense amendment, and parole is Dash 4. It's the opposite.
The Dash 4 is the public defender perspective,
okay.
And the Dash 5 is the parole board's proposal.
Okay, then I have a question of, I thought it was the other way around. To Mr. Powers, I thought a key thing was this paragraph, the prisoner may not depose or cross-examine a victim. Why did you not have that in your amendment?
Chair McPherson, Representative Wisnett, members of the committee, the board's current procedures adequately protect the victims from cross-examination. As Counsel Taylor asked me earlier, under our current procedures, there is no provision for cross-examination. And the same with the subpoenas. That's incorporated in the Dash 5. And so I've talked with Mary Ellich, who's the chapter leader of Parents of Murdered Children, and she supports the A5, the board's procedures, having been at the board's hearings, and so the victims are adequately protected in the A5 amendments.
Well, the government efficiency issue.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I like the A5s. It kind of standardizes the hearings in the parole board, and I'm going to be supportive of those.
I'll support the 5.
I'll support the 5s.
Okay. And I have to say, this bill has consumed a lot of committee time and energy, and I'd be inclined toward the A4s. I don't think it is a terribly important issue. I think we've kind of gotten closer together with the amendments. So wherever the committee is headed, I would go with the A4s if we had a consensus. But what I don't want to do is bring it back again.
Mr. Chair, thank you. The A4s I think drastically changed the bill from what the intent was of the original bill to streamline the efficiencies in the parole hearings. And having heard their budget, I think that it's also important that we look at those things. The A5s keep with the original concept of being able to streamline, but also address a couple of the concerns we heard in the first testimony. So I will support the A5s.
Okay. I'm sensing that there is a bare majority in favor of the A5s. Looking around the committee. So do I hear a motion on the A5s?
Mr. Chair,
move the A5 amendments into Senate Bill 288. Is there any objection?
Well, I'd rather have the dash four.
Well, I was just wondering whether we should go ahead and have a roll call vote on the. Well, let's do that. Let's have a roll call vote on the motion to move the A5s.
Mr. Bonamici.
No.
Mr. Cameron.
Aye.
Mr. Forrest.
Excused.
Representative Kahn.
Excused.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Vice Chair Barker.
Aye.
Vice Chair Rosnett.
Aye.
Chair McPherson.
No.
Motion carries. The A5 amendments are in the bill. Is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, move Senate Bill 288 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
Representative Barker moves Senate Bill 288 as amended by the A5 amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bonamici.
No.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Excused.
Representative
Hall. Excused.
Representative
Krieger. Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Barker. Aye.
Vice Chair Rosnett.
Aye.
Chair McPherson.
Aye.
Senate Bill 288, as amended by the A5s, moves to the floor of the due pass. And who would like to carry this bill?
Mr. Powers.
Representative Cameron, thank you very much. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 288, and as I mentioned before, the other bills that were set for work session, Senate Bill 279, Senate Bill 347, and Senate Bill 629 will be rolled over until tomorrow's agenda. That concludes our agenda for today. We are adjourned.
How many bills do we have for tomorrow?